Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road Band for that introductory music. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm Bill McKeever, your host, the founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are continuing our look into a statement made by the LDS Church leadership that came out on Wednesday, February 29th, explaining what they feel is the speculation behind the priesthood ban for those members of the LDS Church who are of African heritage. In that statement, they say that they don't know precisely why, how, or when this restriction began, but they want you to know that it ended decades ago, which it did. But when they go on to say some have attempted to explain the reason for this restriction, but these attempts should be viewed as speculation and opinion, not doctrine, we take exception with that because that is not what leaders of the past felt when it came to this restriction. We cannot find anybody prior to 1978 that was a general authority who felt that the ban was based in any kind of speculation, opinion, or even folklore, another word that has been used by modern LDS leaders and apologists. So we are going through showing what past leaders have said on this subject, what even past BYU professors have said on this subject, showing that the Mormon Church, in our opinion, is not being totally honest with either its membership or the general public when it comes to the priesthood ban. So we're going to start off today, and by the way, if you would like to know what we are going to be quoting, we do have this listed on our website at mrm.org. I know we're kind of playing our hand on this one, but we felt it important that you have these quotations at your disposal should you get into a conversation with your LDS acquaintances. We're going to start off with President Harold B. Lee in a book that he wrote called Decisions for Successful Living, pages 164 and 165.
Here's what he writes. There is no truth more plainly taught in the Gospels than that our condition in the next world will depend upon the kind of lives we live here. Quote, and he's quoting from John 5, 28 and 29, all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Is it not just as reasonable to suppose that the conditions in which we now live have been determined by the kind of lives we lived in the pre-existent world of spirits?
Now, let me stop you there because you're going to notice something, folks. They always go back to what Mormons call the first estate. In other words, our existence in what they call the pre-existence. Mormonism teaches that we all existed in this pre-existence prior to our coming to earth in mortality, which Mormons call the second estate. But when it comes to the priesthood ban, you're going to find that leaders prior to 1978 all pointed back to something that this group of people did or did not do that warranted this punishment, as Mormon leaders have said, of not being allowed to hold the priesthood in this mortality.
It continues that the apostles understood this privilege is that the apostles understood this principle is indicated by their question to the master when the man who was blind from his birth was healed of his blindness, quoting from John 9:2, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?
Now, what's interesting about him quoting John 9:2 is that Jesus actually refutes that assumption. And basically saying, look, you got it wrong. It had nothing to do with something you think he may have done or his parents would have done. This healing and this situation in his life is purposeful, and it's going to bring glory to God. So Harold B. Lee doesn't even seem to interpret that passage correctly.
That's a great verse to bring out when somebody says that a pre-existing life, such as in Mormonism or with the Hindu, who believes that karma and reincarnation will determine what your life is like now. Jesus refuted that. Continuing on in his statement, now perhaps you will have a partial answer to some of your questions as to why, if God is a just father, that some of his children are born of an enlightened race and in a time when the gospel is upon the earth, while others are born of a heathen parentage in a benighted, backward country. And still others are born to parents who have the mark of a black skin with which the seed of Cain were cursed and whose descendants were to be denied the rights of the priesthood of God.
Now listen carefully to that language. Based on what you did, determine on whether or not you were going to be born of an enlightened race, which of course in Mormonism at that time would be a white race, and in a time when the gospel is upon the earth, others born of a heathen parentage in a benighted backward country. So again, your spirituality can be determined to a certain extent by your skin color. And this is also reflected in the Book of Mormon when it comes to the Lamanite people. Now, of course, the Book of Mormon doesn't talk about blacks per se in its contents. It's referring more to what is known as the Indian people, American Indian people. But still, skin color is a telltale sign, according to Mormon leadership prior to 1978.
And notice what he said there at the end. It's the mark of a black skin with which the seed of Cain were cursed. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is not something that was done lightly. Because of something that you did in this pre-existing life, you were then given this curse, and that is pre-1978. This is what was taught as a doctrine.
In order for the Mormon leadership to know who had the curse being specifically the inability to have the priesthood, a mark was given, and the mark was the dark skin. In fact, Brigham Young, I think, even said the black skin and the flat nose.
Right.
Now, certainly these kind of comments in a 21st century context sound so horrible to us. And the argument is often made by Mormon apologists that, well, our leaders were just a product of their time. Well, wait a minute. Should they have been? If these are really prophets and apostles getting their instructions from the God of the Bible, the God of the Book of Mormon, as Mormons would insist, how come they're a product of their time? Why can't they see through the prejudices and this horrible type of thought, and yet they're right in there as a part of it?
I mean, I don't think Isaiah, Jeremiah, Micah, or the other biblical prophets were, with the culture that they had, allowed that to say what they would say. I mean, they said what God told them to say, and it wasn't always very popular. I don't think that a prophet or apostle should be known by going with the culture is a good thing.
Now listen to what Apostle Melvin J. Ballard said. This is Sermons and Missionary Service of Melvin J. Ballard, page 248. Why is it in this church we do not grant the priesthood to the Negroes? It is alleged that the prophet Joseph said, and I have no reason to dispute it, that it is because of some act committed by them before they came into this life. It is alleged that they were neutral, standing neither for Christ nor the devil, but I am convinced it is because of some things they did before they came into this life that they have been denied the privilege. The races of today are very largely reaping the consequences of a previous life. And as we've discussed, this was a punishment. So if the Mormon Church wants us to believe that this punishment was based on mere speculation, opinion, or folklore, what does that tell you about the discernment level of these leaders?
Yep.
Obviously, they can punish people based on something that today the Mormon Church is mere folklore. But let me reiterate, the leaders at that time, the leaders who are making these statements, never claimed to base the punishment on speculation or folklore. They felt that God ordained this teaching. Now, a Mormon might say, yeah, but they never use the word doctrine. Yes, they do. They do use the word doctrine. And we're going to see this. But even so, when you claim that it's God who is behind a certain teaching, is that not a doctrine that should be believed? And yet the Mormon Church is trying to say, well, no, not really. I mean, this, I don't know about you, Eric, this insults my intelligence. I'm having a hard time with this.
Well, and for good reason. Alvin R. Dyer at the time was an assistant to the 12, later became a member of the First Presidency under President McKay.
He was a counselor.
In March 18, 1961, for what purpose? He writes this: the reason that spirits are born into Negro bodies is because those spirits rejected the priesthood of God in the pre-existence. This is the reason why you have Negroes on the earth. All of this is according to a well-worked-out plan that these millions and billions of spirits awaiting birth in the pre-existence would be born through a channel or race of people. Consequently, the cursed were to be born through him. This is why you have colored people, why you have dark people, and why you have white people.
Again, pointing back to the pre-existence, they're pretty consistent on this. So yeah. It's interesting that if it's all based off of personal opinion, they all share the same opinion. They seem to be pointing to the same direction. Apostle George F. Richards. Now, this was a conference message that was given in October 1947. And on page 57, it says, "The Negro race have been forbidden the priesthood and the higher temple blessings, presumably because of their not having been valiant while in the spirit. It does not pay to be anything but valiant." So again, we have Mormon leaders telling us today, no, that's folklore. Did George F. Richards really think that was folklore? I don't think so.
We're not just quoting one person. We're quoting a number of leaders. Here's another one, Mark E. Peterson, in his Race Problems as They Affect the Church. From August 27, 1954, page 11, this is what he said. "We cannot escape the conclusion that because of performance in the pre-existence, some of us are born as Chinese, some as Japanese, some as Indians, some as Negroes, some as Americans, some as Latter-day Saints. These are rewards and punishments, fully in harmony with his established policy in dealing with sinners and saints, rewarding all according to their deeds."
Oh boy. Again, he uses, "These are rewards and punishments." Okay, modern LDS leaders, if you want us to believe that your church was punishing people based on speculation and folklore, really, I think you're only proving our case that there's something very wrong in Salt Lake City. I'm going to read you this one last quote, and we got to do it quickly. This is a BYU professor, Hiram L. Andrus, in his book Doctrinal Commentary on the Pearl of Great Price, came out in 1967, page 404. "The fact that descendants of Cain are presently denied the right to hold the priesthood is not based wholly upon the actions of their fathers. Deeper reasons go back into the pre-earth life, to the appointments that were made in ascending spirits into the world to obtain bodies among the several families of the earth." Here we see they are once again pointing back to the pre-existence. And of course, in Mormonism, we have no memory of what took place in the pre-existence. So basically, they were being punished for something they could not remember doing. And now the Mormon Church is saying this was all folklore.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear past editions of more than 100 shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is available on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the box that says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. Looking for a book on Mormonism? The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City carries the largest selection of Christian books on Mormonism, including titles such as Mormonism, Shadow or Reality, and Mormonism 101. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is also a great place to get your questions answered. Open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is located directly across from the Spring Mobile Ballpark at 1358 South and West Temple.